Welcome to Modern Family Matters, a podcast devoted to exploring family law topics that matter most to you, covering a wide range of legal, personal, and family law matters with expert analysis from skilled attorneys and professional guests. We hope that our podcast provides answers, clarity, and guidance towards a better tomorrow for you and your family. Here's your host, Steve Altishan.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Steve Altishan, Director of Client Partnerships at Pacific Cascade Legal. And today we have our bankruptcy attorney, Darren Weishart, to talk about the timing of filing a bankruptcy when it comes to property issues. Hey, Darren, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, thanks for being here. Hey, Darren, you've been on this thing a lot, but for someone who hasn't seen you, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yep, my name is Darren Weishart, and I've been practicing bankruptcy law for my entire career, and I run a firm in Oregon. We have offices in Washington and Oregon along the I-5 corridor in Bend, pretty much spanning the two states. So any of those two states would be areas that we can represent people at. And I really enjoy bankruptcy for the opportunity of helping people get from the point that they come to me, which is almost always one of their worst years, and get them to a spot that they can get back to, you know, back to moving forward and back to feeling like their life is under control. And sometimes, you know, you deal with different issues, but bankruptcy really is enjoyable for that reason.
I love it. And I love these, you know, broadcasts we do, because you really do give advice. And every time we talk, it's like, oh gosh, I didn't know that. I'm glad I heard about it. So let's today talk about an issue that doesn't get talked about a lot, which is not how you file or what you file, but when you file, you know, the timing of a filing, and especially surrounding property issues. And so let's just kind of start with the first one, which may be the major topic people think about is, what if you have property you do not want to lose, you know, tax refund maybe, or, you know, non-exempt assets, you know, what do you do with those things? How do you get, or does that affect when you file?
It definitely affects the way, you know, when you file and how you look at your case. And it really depends on what the asset is, what the, you know, is it income that's coming in, which maybe, you know, maybe it's going to get garnished and you need to file a bankruptcy prior to that getting garnished or within a time period of getting garnished, because a lot of people won't, you know, they'll know that if you file your bankruptcy before you get garnished, then you can usually keep a hold of that asset. And then depending on what you file, you know, that's going to determine what happens with that asset after you file. But it also is a window of time after you get garnished that you might be able to get that money back. And so sometimes when we have assets and we talk about timing, we want to be sure we keep our eye on when, you know, what asset we have and how do we deal with what your goal is in relation to that asset. The big key takeaway on that one is talk with the attorney and start putting your ducks in a row to get filed sooner rather than later. And that's because those times when somebody garnishes, that clock is ticking for when you can possibly claw it back from that creditor.
Question on the taxes, because we talked a little bit about this before starting this, is that if I get may have a tax refund, but I don't know I'm going to have a tax refund, do I have to wait till I file and there's actually a refund issued? Or what if I haven't filed yet, but it may be out there? How can I kind of figure out what if I'm going to get tax refund is and if I'm going to be able to keep it?
Yeah, and this is the tricky one, because this is all the judging where that particular case is or where the client is. If it's past January 1st, then usually the refund from the previous year is owing, right? So even though taxes haven't been completed yet, you don't have an idea what, you know, what the tax refund or owing is going to be. You're owed that money if there's money coming back, because the year is finished. The tax year, the previous tax year is concluded. A lot of times I tell clients, though, too, we want to have an idea how much your refund will be or what you will owe, so that we can make sure that we can discuss if we can change our direction a little bit to get to dealing with that particular asset or debt. And that's that. So usually what I'll tell clients is try to get the taxes prepared as soon as you can, because even if you don't file them right then, that gives us the idea of what they're going to look like when they get filed. And in bankruptcy, I say it to clients all the time. Bankruptcy attorneys do not like unknowns. We don't like mysteries. We want to know as many things as we can, and we're not going to know everything. That's just how it is. Bankruptcy, a lot of times we're trying to do the best we can with what we have, and we're not going to have everything known. We're going to deal with some unexpecteds, but we want as little unexpecteds as we can possibly have. And part of that is understanding or knowing what your refunds, what your taxes are going to say.
Yeah. Probably the biggest property for most people, I would imagine, or a lot of people, is their house, their home. And if you got a home mortgage, that has to affect when you want to file a bankruptcy, especially what if it's in arrears already?
Definitely one of the biggest ones, right? This is one of the ones that almost every client comes to me when they have a house and they want to keep their house. And that's the goal of a lot of bankruptcies across the board. And so the goal then is, how do we deal with whatever you are behind, or maybe they're current, whatever it is, and how do we make sure that we keep everything so that they can stay in their house and continue to, live a normal life on the ground? That's the timing of bankruptcy when we deal with an arrearage, when we deal with people that are behind on their mortgage. Maybe the mortgage company's not working with you. Maybe you've tried a couple of different methods and you're just not getting anywhere. You just want to get into a bankruptcy. And sometimes a Chapter 13 is a very good idea to cure an arrears for your house. And that's because what it'll do is it'll allow you to file, and then they can't move forward on a foreclosure anymore. And so that's huge, because now you get a chance to breathe. You get a chance to put your feet under you, and we can move forward. Then whatever you owed up to that date, whatever you were behind, gets paid off over up to 60 months. And usually it's paid at 0% interest. And so instead of doing a loan mod, which is taking that chunk of money and putting it on the tail end of your loan, we're going to put it into a 60-month payment as if you never missed any payments. And then you're going to make your mortgage payment moving forward starting the first of the next month. And it's going to be as if you never missed payments, no foreclosure, no loss of house. That's a timing thing that you want to be sure. And a lot of times we get down to a 3-day window when we talk about foreclosures, because we want to file within this sweet spot of making sure that you've got, the money set aside for the next mortgage payment, because that has to be made moving forward. And you're ready to pay what we would call the trustee payment, which is the catch up of the house plus whatever else the case entails.
So that foreclosure is a real kind of bellwether. It's that's a red line, and you don't want to cross it.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why a lot of times when we meet with a client, we're going to be on, any attorney that does this, they're going to be online to check where that case is, where the foreclosure case is. And then any attorney too is probably going to ask you to bring the documents that you've received, maybe the knock on the door or, what you've got, because that'll have some dates that'll say the trustee for the foreclosure is going to sell the house on the courthouse steps at this time on this day. And of course, gigantic bold letters, that's what goes up on the wall when you're meeting with that client, because you do not want to get past that date, because then you risk losing the house. And the less risk, the better.
Let's talk about property that maybe I want to sell before the bankruptcy. Maybe it's got really good market value now. Maybe I want to, spend it on something. Can I do that? Can I sell something and then spend it on other stuff and then file a bankruptcy?
You can. People do it. Yes. And what I say always, always is get someone in your boat that you're going to work with, because once you start looking at that, that's what I always call wheeling and dealing. Okay. You want to start wheeling and dealing. You can do it with bankruptcy, and you can do it without flying in the face of the rules, for a lot of different things, depending on what the situation is. But you want to have somebody in your corner that you're working with, because if you do something that maybe you make a ton of money and you sell something, or, sometimes people will sell it to their brother and they sell it for, oh, this car right here is my baby car. This is awesome. And it's worth 12 grand, and they sell it to their brother for 4,000, and then they file a bankruptcy. And then the trustee can say, I don't like that transaction. That wasn't fair. It wasn't a good one. I want the car back, or I want the money, or I want, you know, there becomes a lot of extra complexity into that. And those types of things aren't simple anyway, because what the trustee's job is to look at what you have and to figure out if you have any assets or anything to pay in for the betterment of the creditors, right? And so that's the trade-off. And because that's their job, they have that job, you know, the assignment to look over all of the transactions that you did leading up to the bankruptcy to see if maybe there was one that they can undo. And if they can undo it, they can go grab money and then distribute it to the creditors and pay themselves for their work. And that's how the, you know, that's how a bankruptcy will work. And so if you're looking at possibly liquidating something or selling some item or, you know, trading something in or getting rid of something, you always want to have the attorney in your corner at that point, because they can tell you whether there's a giant red flag that just went up, or, yeah, go ahead and do that and then put the money in the bank and maybe use it on everyday expenses or something like that. Sometimes that happens, and maybe it needs to happen. But at the same time, it's always best to have the planning going so that you don't have, you have as few issues down the road as you can have.
Yeah. You said that the bankruptcy object, what the trustee wants to make sure is that the creditors are being not screwed over, that you just can't go sell something to your mom real cheap or your brother real cheap, and creditors are out in the cold. But what if I want to sell something to one of my creditors because I maybe want, like that creditor, or want to get some favorable treatment out of them later? In between creditors, can I kind of choose before I actually file who to pay?
The answer to that is get someone in your corner, because this is the tricky one. This is one of those where we could talk about 100 different scenarios, and a lot of them will be different. And it'll depend a lot on what the rest of your case looks like, or maybe what your income is, or your assets, or the other pieces. You really need to make sure. And I could go through a lot of different, you know, different possible scenarios on that fact pattern. And it might change in the vast majority of them. So you don't ever want to just be, you know, trucking through the weeds, just hoping everything works out. That's not the way bankruptcy, that I would advise to go through bankruptcy, especially if you're only doing it once. You don't want to get through and have it just blow up all over the place.
Well, how about if I want to get a little tricky? What if I've kind of looked around and, you know, read some stuff, and there's, you know, there's this thing out there called exempt property and non-exempt property. And I'm looking at my property and it doesn't look like it's exempt property. And before I come to you, I say, well, hold on. I'm going to sell this thing and I'm going to buy maybe a car or something, you know, that might be exempt. And that way I can kind of, you know, skin the cat twice. Are there any issues, even whether you can do it or not, or timing issues involved in buying selling a non-exempt property so you can buy an exempt property?
There are definitely plenty of scenarios that, you know, that's what attorneys will refer to as bankruptcy planning. And adequate bankruptcy planning just leads to figuring out what assets are there, what are non-exempt, what are exempt, exactly what you said, just kind of finding a way to protect what you can and stay within the rules. And that's part of being a savvy bankruptcy attorney. Some attorneys like to do that a little more than other attorneys. There are certain attorneys around my state and around the couple of states that I see all the time that will not do that at all. They won't touch that because there's the risk that you are trying to manipulate the system. And in bankruptcy, good faith is a really, really, that's the place you want to be. You want to always be in good faith. You want to be acting in good faith. You want to be functioning in that lane. You don't ever want to get out of that lane so that you are in the gray or in a bad faith area where people can come at you and say your bankruptcy is, we want to pull the discharge because you were acting in bad faith when you did this transaction or this other thing. that's one of those where, you know, some attorneys, they don't mind the risk. They don't mind taking that bankruptcy planning path. And then other attorneys will avoid that like the plague. And, you know, you just want to be sure that you've got an attorney in your corner that likes the path that you want to take and is going to help you achieve the goals that you would like to see. Because, of course, my goal is always to keep the money in my clients' pockets if I can. I want to get them through as smooth as I can with the least amount of stress. And I want to keep as much of their assets in their hands so that their life stays as similar as it is right now on the ground as the bankruptcy goes through. And it's not always easy to do, but that's the goal. So part of that stress aspect of it, though, is once you start playing in the gray area and you start doing things that can be considered bad faith, now you're asking creditors, you're almost demanding creditors to create stress for your process. And that's something that you always want to balance. And some people deal with it better than others. And of course, you know, we have wheelers and dealers that come in that they want to do this or they want to do that. And it depends on how creative your attorney wants to be or how much stress you want to have through the process. But you want to have an attorney that sees eye to eye with where you are. And that's part of getting that relationship with the attorney that you know you're going to work with.
Yeah. What about your marital status? Does that, because obviously divorces include the distribution of property. So has that become an issue, a timing issue? Should I file bankruptcy before I get divorced or after I get divorced? And or does it matter what I own and what how it's going to be? Does that kind of get brought into this whole subject too?
It definitely does, because we're timing, do you file alone or do you file together? Do you have an opportunity to file a Chapter 7 as a household right now that's an existing household that may not be an existing household in 6 months or a year? You have all those different issues that come in. Maybe you're not married yet and you're going to get married, or you want to get married and you have a lot of debt on your side, but you don't want the debt to ever interfere with your future spouse. And so sometimes you say, hey, we need to get filed right now while you're not married, because right now, you know, you guys have a combination where you have half your budget split 50-50. And so we can do some things. We got a lot of extra creativity that you can have when you talk about when to time your filing a bankruptcy and balance that to what the goals are, dealing with what family size you have, what your household looks like right now, and maybe what it's going to look like in another month or 6 months or, you know, the down the road. Those are certainly going to come into play for sure. You want to make sure that you have those looked at.
We're almost out of time, but I do want to kind of turn around and hit one last thing. And that is, you've talked about all the different scenarios and all the different permutations and all the different things that can happen in a bankruptcy and why you need to talk to an attorney and not just go off on your own. And that part of that is that even today, you gave great answers, but those answers, you know, may or may not be right in a person's situation. This isn't legal advice, you know, and you really need legal advice. So maybe talk about that just for a second, about what you see and what you hear versus getting legal advice.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, these types of things are designed for the broad picture and for the idea of this is where you can go and this is what we see as the flags pop up. And you want to make sure that you have an exact on what your case looks like, because when I set up when I'm meeting with a client and I set up a worksheet to say, let's go through all the different pieces, there's a lot of balancing, and there might be a piece in there that you don't see a video for or that you don't see a write-up for, and it might play in bigger. It might be a gorilla in the room. Yep. You know, the certain things that you might not know about, that somebody who does this for a living will say, wait a second now, we need to look at this thing and balance that on these other two or three big goals that you have. And that will help. I mean, the legal advice in something like this, we don't want to do legal advice because we don't know your particular position. And we want to make sure we get all that data before we make a direction on where you're going to go.
Wow. And that is so important. So, Darren, thank you so much today for sitting down to talk with us about filing bankruptcies when it comes to property. Again, super informative. People don't think about this kind of stuff. You bring it to their attention and get them to see a lawyer. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
And everyone, thank you for joining us today. If anyone, of course, has a further question, we can get you connected with Darren. And until next time, stay safe, stay happy, and be well.
This has been Modern Family Matters, a legal podcast focusing on providing real answers and direction for individuals and families. Our podcast is sponsored by Landerholm Family Law and Pacific Cascade Family Law, serving families in Oregon and Washington. If you are in need of legal counsel or have additional questions about a family law matter important to you, please visit our websites at landerholmlaw.com or pacificcascadefamilylaw.com. You can also call our headquarters at 503-227-0200 to schedule a case evaluation with one of our seasoned attorneys. Modern Family Matters, advocating for your better tomorrow and offering legal solutions important to the modern family.